Daddy, can I have an orange lolly, please?
Oh, Andrew, I really can't be bothered to go out and get one now.
You don't have to, Daddy. Listen.
That was an excerpt from The Iceman Cometh. Another in our series, A Play to Remember, which may also help you to forget for the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those with a strong disposition, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are Chiversley Jum Humpington, Detective Inspector Bird of the Flying Squad, Lydia Pott, the music of the Fleet Street Morning and Evening Pipers, Miss Amelia Cannon.
I mean, she's a big shot.
To continue, Chamomile Fig, Lord Herbert Featherston Hoare and his Smoky Mountain Boys, and, of course, Mr. Kenneth Hoare, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Hoare.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that is brilliantly produced, the show that has superb music and vocalists, the show that highlights the individual talents of a versatile cast, the show that, in my opinion...
Oh, get on with it.
The show that next week will be without Kenneth Williams. Well, now, let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I received a phone call from an old friend of mine, Bill Peace, suggesting we should dine together. So on Monday, Peace came to my house, and on Tuesday, I went to Peace's. Wednesday, I had another rather nasty experience in my local. I was quietly toying with the cherry in my oatmeal stout when a chap came up to me, grabbed me by the lapels and shouted,
I know your thoughts. I've a good mind to punch you right on your big nose. I don't like you at all, see? And for two pins, I'd break every bone in your body.
Just then, his companion tapped me on the shoulder and said,
take no notice of Fred, he's a bit merry.
Thursday, I had a very interesting afternoon when I attended a local seance. We all sat around in a circle holding hands and hoping to get messages. Well, I didn't get any messages, but I got two jolly good phone numbers. On Friday, I decided to stay in and get down to a job I'd been putting off for months, clearing out an old trunk of mine.
Here's your morning coffee, Mr. Horn. Oh, sir, are you still at it?
Well, yes, Prudence. Isn't it amazing how much stuff accumulates over the years? Look what I've come across. A photo of me as a baby.
Oh.
Oh, there, lying on the rug, you see.
Oh, sir. Oh, good gracious. I never realised you'd been bald all your life.
No, Prudence, that's the other... Oh, never mind, no. Now, wait a minute. I've got something here that'll surprise you. There. What do you think of that?
A lock of beautiful golden hair. Oh, sir, you're not going to tell me this was yours?
Yes, it was, Prudence. Oh. My head was a mass of golden curls. Oh. In fact, I remember all the boys at school used to think I was a girl.
That must have been awkward for you.
Yes, but it had its advantages. All the girls used to think I was a girl as well.
Oh, dear, you must have looked sweet, sir.
It's all very nostalgic. Look here, my old school things. Cricket cap, blazer, silver cups and trophies.
Oh, sir, did you win all those?
Yes, I was pretty good at poker. Oh, how it takes me back.
Oh, Mr. Horn. Oh, just look at that. Whatever's that doing among your school things?
Oh, that's one of my proudest possessions, Prudence.
Oh, but people don't keep mementos like that.
You don't understand, Prudence. You see, I was the one who climbed up and put it on top of the spire.
Oh, dear, I bet you would have won.
Well, not really. No, I was quite studious, actually. Here are some of my storybooks. Fotheringay of the Fifth Form, Black Patch, Scourge of the Seven Seas.
Lovely.
And, here was my favourite. It's got a bit dirty. Lend me a duster.
What a funny title.
Oh, Prunes, really? Still, I suppose it's little remarks like that make this show what it is. Corny.
called, then?
It's called Adventure Stories of the Northwest Frontier.
Lovely.
Now, let's see, Yes, yes. I'll read this one. It all started at the British headquarters of the Bengal Lancers at Shaw.
What the devil's going on in there?
Sorry, General.
Have you got hold of Major Forbes Phipps and Lieutenant Carfax yet?
No, sir. They've got hold of me.
Send them in at once.
Sir?
At ease, gentlemen. Now, I've sent for you. Good heavens, Carfax, what's the matter with you? You look whiter than white. What on earth is that you're holding in your hand?
Four feathers, sir.
I thought I told you to keep away from that fan dancer.
Begging your pardon, sir, but whoever gave those to Lieutenant Carfax is suggesting he's a coward.
It's a beastly lie, sir, isn't it, Major? I mean, you know jolly well that I'm known to all the chaps in the regiment as Mad Carfax.
Do you know, I always thought that was short for Madge.
Well, don't let it worry you, Carfax. You're going to get a chance to prove yourself. Both of you.
Special mission, General?
Yes, Major. There's a rumor that the Afridis might start a jihad in the Khinjan. And that means the Khyber Pass might be involved in a Lashkar. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Then perhaps you'll be good enough to explain it to me.
Well, sir, I gather the Afridi Hill tribes are massing in the Khinjan Caves for an all-out attack.
Oh. Well, thank you. Well, gentlemen, your mission is to get inside the Khinjan Caves and there contact the beautiful woman who rules the hill tribes. As you know, her name is a byword.
I wonder what the A stands for. I mean, could it be Angela, perhaps?
Lieutenant, take these two needles.
What for, sir?
You knit. Her name is Yasmin, but she's known throughout India as Freeneasy.
Free and easy?
Well, apparently she is. However, she's working for us. Now, both of you will go to Delhi, and there you will contact her faithful servant, Gunga Rewa. Good luck to you both.
Where are we? Panjer Hall.
How much further to Delhi, Major?
Oh, goodness knows. By Jove, this heat is getting me down.
It's almost unbearable, sir.
Let's turn it off, shall we? Something tells me this mission is going to be pretty dangerous. I've a good mind to wash my hands of the whole affair.
Oh, Major, please. Not while the train is standing at the station.
Good heavens, look! A band of ruffians led by a white woman. It must be Yasmin.
No, it isn't. By gad, sir, it's Pat Lancaster.
So it is, but I was right about the band of ruffians. It's the Variety Orchestra.
Greetings, Sards.
Salam. Kuchda Nahin Hai.
What does that mean?
Sing, Pat.
When an irresistible force such as you meets an immovable object like me, you can bet as sure as you live, some's gotta give, some's gotta give, something's gotta give. When an irrepressible smile such as yours warms an implacable heart such as mine, don't say no because I insist. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna be here. So on guard, who knows what fate has in store. From its vast, mysterious sky, I'll try hard, ignoring those lips I adore. But how long can anyone try? Fight, 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 fight it with all of our might. Chances are some heavenly star-spangled night. We'll find out as sure as we live. Find out as sure as we live. Some's gotta give, some's gotta give, some has gotta give. Somehow, somewhere, someone's gotta be here.
Jarlin Ithat, or perhaps I should say, Masjum Kuran Taj Pokai.
Oh, we're on our way again, Major Phipps.
Oh, look, Carfax. A bearded chap in a turban has just boarded the train. He's coming into our compartment.
Salam, Babs. Salam, salam.
Be careful, Major. You never know whether these chaps are being sincere with all this friendly greeting business.
You mean it might be a false salam?
Greetings, gentlemen. You are a Major Ford Phipps, this one with all the Phipps.
How do you know my name?
I am Gunga Riva, humble servant to Yasmin. There has been a change of plan. We will not drop at Delhi, but continue on to Jamrud at the foot of the Khyber. And from there, I will lead you up the hill slope to the Ginyan Gave.
How much further is it, Gunga?
Oh, it is not much further, Major.
I can't understand it. There's a perfectly good footpath straight up to the caves, and yet you've brought us up by this route. Up the rock face and with all these treacherous ledges. Why?
It's a much prettier way round. Nothab, we will rest here for a while.
I say, Kurun Khan, what is this Yasmin like?
Oh, she is very beautiful. Very beautiful. Have you not read the poem about her by the great philosopher and poet Omar Khayyam?
Yeah, I can't say I have. How does it go?
There was a young woman of Delhi who was...
All right, all right. We better not have the rest, I think.
Well, no, gentlemen. From here on, it would be safer if you proceed in disguise. Here are some clothes and two turbans.
You mean we're to be water carriers?
Precisely.
But look here, if I'm to play the part of a water carrier properly, you'd better let me have a picture.
Right, here you are. This is one taken of me at the seaside.
No, no.
Wearing a banana from the start. It's lovely.
No, not that sort at all.
Oh,
never mind. All right, come on, let's get going.
Well, here we are, the Kinjan Caves. Follow me.
You know, I don't like it, Carfax. They should have sent a detachment of gherkins with us.
Oh, sir, don't you mean Gurkhas?
No, I was thinking of our overseas repeats, actually.
Good heavens, sir. Look at that woman doing an exotic dance. It must be Yasmin.
By Jove, how exciting. She dances with abandon.
That's about all she has got on.
Come, gentlemen. Yasmin, here are two more tribesmen come to join.
Greetings.
Salam. This is Forbes, Phipps, and Carfax, madam.
Take off your disguises. That's better. Now I have a plan to help the British regiments overthrow...
Everyone stay where they are.
or they will feel the blade of my cookery.
Kuram Khan, where did you learn to use a knife like that?
From a cookery book.
Now, Yasmin, I have known your plan all along.
What treachery is this?
I take off my disguise and see.
So, it's you.
Yes, it's me.
So you would defy me?
Yes, Yasmin. We have been ruled by you long enough. But now it is too late. It is 12 o'clock and the hill tribes are rising.
Lazy devils.
Soon the whole army...
All right, drop the knife.
Gunga Reewa has a revolver. Well done.
I am not Gunga Reewa. I take off my disguise and be...
General.
Yes, gentlemen.
Now, what about you, Yasmin? No, I don't think you'd better take any more off.
But, General, sir, what are we going to do about the tribes?
Don't worry. I've seen to that. Listen, gentlemen, the Lancers. Gentlemen, let's put an end to the trouble on the Khyber Pass. The regiment will return to England immediately.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
And Carfax, goodbye to you, old man.
Bye, sir.
Goodbye. Now, come here, Yasmin.
Yes?
You have served the British well, but your work is done. Now there'll be more time for play.
What do you mean?
Yasmin, you're very beautiful. Come closer.
No. No, I don't think I should.
Oh, come on, why not?
I have a surprise for you, Major. I, too, have been in disguise. See!
Good heavens! Who are you?
I'm Carruthers of the Khyber Rifles.
Now here are four song carriers who really make a Gunga din. The Fraser Hayes Four.
While strolling through the park one day, in the very month of May, I was taken by surprise by a pair of roguish eyes. In a moment my poor heart was stole away. A smile was all she gave to me. Were as happy as could be. I immediately raised my hat and finally did remark, I never shall forget the charmer that I met. The happy day was rolling in the park. Oh, I was young and fancy free, till all at once I knew gay Cupid's dart had caught my heart and pierced it through and through. But how all this befell, to you I now will tell.
Will you be my bride, my love?
No, no.
She cried.
Not now. I'll never, never marry you. You're not my cup of tea. Your chin is much too large.
Don't worry. I've a charge.
While strolling through the park one day, in the merry month of May,
I was taken by surprise
by a pair of bloodshot eyes.
In a moment my poor heart was stole away. A smile was all she gave to me. Soon we were as happy as could be, and I knew that she was the only girl for me. I immediately raised my tit for tat and finally did remark, I never shall forget the charmer that I met. That happy day while strolling in the park.
so to the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. This week, we present a close-up on food.
And hope it goes down well. Well, first, let us talk to that well-known gourmet, Stanley Birkinshaw. Now, sir, you're something of an expert on food, aren't you?
That is so, yes. A connoisseur, you might say.
Yes. And what do you like?
Oh, I like all sorts of succulent dishes. such delicacies as oysters, smoked salmon, asparagus tips.
What was that one, sir?
Asparagus tips.
Oh, yes.
And escargots, or as they're known in this country, snails. Sometimes I'm satisfied with more simple dishes, such as sole and tartar sauce. Russian salad or sausage and mash.
Yes. And what about wine?
Well, speaking for myself personally, I like a nice Barsac or Sauternes, but I'm not really a connoisseur on drinks. That is my brother's province.
Oh, you have a brother?
Oh, yes, I have indeed, yes. Septimus Birkinshaw.
And is he anything like you?
Oh, yes, he is. He's a spitting image.
Here's a lady. Madam, do you have any preference?
Yes, I have, you say. Well, when I'm at home alone in the evenings, the thing that I really yearn for most is a nice, spicy foreign dish.
Such as?
Rezzana Brazzi.
Now here's a delightful old gentleman. Good evening, sir. Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Good evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Now. Just a moment, if you will. Do you know anything about the gastronomic art?
Oh, yes. I detach a bit once. They nasty.
No.
Very nasty.
You're not quite with me, sir.
I
meant good eating.
Yes, that's what caused it. Right here. Oh,
no.
I blew up. I felt everything.
Let's look at it.
I can see.
Just one moment, sir. Let's put it differently, shall we? Do you think food is important?
No, I don't. We could all do without it. I remember once I went without food for 28 days.
28 days?
28 days. I went without food.
Why was that?
I couldn't attract the waiter's attention.
Well, to a lot of people, a meal is just a rather routine affair, but for the Epicurean, there are great delights in finding not only the right food, but the right place to eat it.
Hello, Rodney.
Hello, Charles. Fancy running into you here.
Oh, I've been coming here for months, Rodney. It's the only place to go.
It's rather quaint, isn't it?
Absolutely dolly. I find there's something terribly convivial about the atmosphere.
Why, that's it. It makes a refreshing change, not having some ghastly fear turning out selection from near the mountain.
So completely restful, one can relax and come to indulge in discreet conversation and enjoy the first-class cuisine.
I suppose you're right, but the menu doesn't seem to have much variety.
Well, allow me to order, Rodders. Now, look, I recommend this.
You say so.
Mears?
Yes, sir?
2 tenpenny pieces of skate and 6 bits of the chips, please. Not for me.
Now let us turn to the manufacture of food. I wonder how many of us realize the care and preparation that goes into the product we eventually buy in the shops. We sent Cecil Snaith to a famous chocolate confectionery and biscuit factory in the north.
Listeners, this is Cecil Snaith speaking to you from the observation platform, which has been specially built so that any members of the public can freely inspect and survey the whole process of manufacture here. One gets a commanding view of the whole vast and complicated machinery that produces and packs the various products. Great cauldrons of deliciously creamy milk chocolate are being supervised by workers, ready to feed the machine which coats the toffees and biscuits. Yum, 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 yum. as they speed on their way down the conveyor belt. The first and foremost impression one gets is that of hygiene. This factory is a perfect picture of gleaming white, spotless walls, and everywhere one walks, the beautifully shining and highly polished floors make it a very... And this is Cecil Snaith, the chocolate-colored commentator, returning you to the studio.
Finally, let us consider that traditional British heritage afternoon tea. The tinkle of teacups at 4 o'clock in any home presents a picture of gentility. But for those who prefer to venture out for tea, it can be something of a hazardous undertaking.
Oh, and get out of it. Keep away from the jam.
Andrews, I think I'm entitled to a little jam on my bread, darling.
I wasn't talking to you, you silly old faggot. Look, there's a wasp hovering around the jam. Go on, get out of it.
Here, have another cucumber sandwich.
Thank you. Ants!
Ants all over the sandwich.
Oh, I'm not taking another bite of anything. I don't know why we couldn't have stayed in and had our tea in peace.
Yeah.
We've had to contend with flies and wasps and goodness knows.
Never again.
No,
darling.
Never again.
Come on, dear. Let's go home.
Yes, home. I'll tell you something else.
Yes?
We'll never set foot inside this restaurant again.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be perfume manufacturers. Do they ever get sent on holiday? Also, in next week's program, we shall be having Miss Sophia Loren to sing us the jewel song from Faust. And there'll be an excerpt from the new film which deals with life inside a Chinese cotton mill and called Loom at the Top. So until next week then, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought from a listener. Is a 24-hour plumber always on tap? Good night.
You have either been listening to or have just missed Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Pat Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jakes Brown.